Hello, and welcome back to another week of A Day's Journey podcast. I am Miyoshi Walker, your host, and here we are on another week to see what God has to say. And so today is episode 20, and I'm going to be speaking on healing survival mode. And so I would like to remind you to please download, share, leave a review on Apple Podcasts so that others can hear and listen to the podcast and it can reach more people. And again, if you have any questions, you can send them to adaysjourneypodcast@gmail.com. And do not forget to purchase your Heal Out Loud Grief Journal to help you with your process of healing and help you to navigate that. Because remember, we can embrace the power of healing out loud because God is greater than our grief. That equals healing. So I'm going to go ahead and get right into today's episode. And again, today's topic is survival mode. And so I'm going to open up with a small word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for all that you have done and all that you're going to do, oh God. I ask that you speak through me, oh God, and allow me to decrease and you increase, oh God. Allow this to be broken up into the many pieces, oh God, to stir up the hearts and the minds, oh God, of your children, oh God. I ask that you allow us to be about our Father's business, oh God, and allow us to seek you in all things, oh God, and to realize that you have the healing power and control of all things, oh God. Allow us to continue to have that mustard seed of faith, oh God, in all that we do, oh God. Allow us to continue to call on your name on high, oh God. We thank you for what you have done and what you're going to do for us and through us, oh God. We ask this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. We do pray. Amen. So let's get into the topic on the episode. So today's topic is healing survival mode. And so we have to get out of survival mode and trust that GPS, you know, God's positioning system to lead us to healing and healing, you know, wholeheartedly and true through him in faith. And so we have to begin to address the what, why, and the necessary things and use the tools to change it. So healing survival mode, of course, let's define survival mode. And so I found several definitions. So I'm just going to read a few of them that I found that could fit into today's topic. So the first definition of survival mode is another term for continuous unresolved stress, known as chronic stress. All of us have experienced it, of course, I'm sure. The next definition is when you can't stop feeling worried or obsessed with what is threatening your stability in life. It's stressful reasons based on past traumas and recent ones, I'm sure, for that matter. And then the last definition that I came across was essentially just rebooting in safe mode, rebooting in safe mode. So all these are different definitions of survival mode, because definitely it can mean different meanings to different individuals, depending on what you are experiencing, what you have experienced, and then what we will experience further on in life. But however, it's all about the outlook of how we deal with it and how we navigate through it. So additionally, things like trauma and the prolonged grief or even burnout can cause our minds to go into, you know, to go into this survival mode or into those survival modes. So maybe it was some type of traumas that can be root of the grief that we experience, or burnout may be the experience that, you know, maybe we took time off from work and we have to return, or maybe church and things that may be going on, or a relationship, for example, just a few. So how can we recognize when we're in survival mode? And so what are some things that we go through, and or some signs that, you know, we may come across when we are in survival mode? Because I'm sure that each of us can identify in some things of how we just are in survival mode. And, you know, here are some things that I wanted to discuss to identify that I know that I had to identify myself by being in this state of mind of survival. So when we're in survival mode, you know, we have those life issues that can seem heavy and stressful and traumatizing at moments. And, you know, our trauma responses or our responses to situation leads to the fight and function through the whole thing of just, you know, we can fight our way through it and we'll just function through it. But I've come to learn that that's not healthy and that's not beneficial to our growth and beneficial to in the things that it does internal within us. And so essentially we're telling our brain to just fight and we'll function through it. And, you know, it can have a stress effect on our bodies. You know, I've learned that this is how, you know, I'm feel on times or at times when I lack focus or when I'm operating, and I'm feeling like exhausted or, you know, the smallest little things can just be a short fuse of something. And, or I tend to procrastinate on tasks of things that I'm doing, you know, because I'm in survival mode. And so your body and mind, it can tend to automatically go into survival mode. So when we're faced and we perceive those threats head on, meaning those things that we're trying to fight through and function through, you know, it's things that we can do in order to win at it, beat it, and overcome it. And so one thing that I learned that I had to know the importance of giving myself self-compassion. And the definition of self-compassion, of course, you know, I had to look it up because I always like to define what we're talking about. You know, I know we all may know what it means, but I just love to give the definition, you know, thoroughly. But self-compassion is a practice of goodwill and not good feelings. With self-compassion, you know, we can mindfully accept that, you know, this moment is, or it can be painful, or we could be experiencing that pain. But self-compassion is also learning to embrace ourselves with kindness and care in response to, you know, remembering that those imperfections are a part of our human experience. Because, you know, we can be hard on ourselves by not showing ourselves self-compassion in things that we go through or experience in life. And so here are some things that I practice with myself by showing, you know, how self-compassion is important, because I know that throughout the years, I did not show myself self-compassion. You know, I guess you can say that at a moment in time that I was a people pleaser. And so let me define that. It's just ensuring that other people were okay and I wasn't making sure myself was not okay. Or I extended grace, but didn't extend myself grace. You know, things like that. And so I had to learn practices of how I can show myself compassion. So I had to, here's a few things. I had to give myself permission to be human and know that, you know, I had to remind myself that I'm not alone and being imperfect, because we all are human. We all make mistakes and we all can learn from them, you know. And I had to give myself permission and I had to remind myself that, you know, everything is not going to go as planned. You know, you're going to make mistakes and things happen, and not to be so hard on myself by feeling as though, you know, I should be at a point of, you know, knowing the who, what, when, where of those things. But life can teach you, you know, different things in different moments, and all experiences are not the same experiences. So I had to give myself permission to be human. And then the second thing I had to do was I tapped into my own caregiving system. I have the heart of, you know, caring for others and giving to them and in their need. And I had a tendency of, you know, showing that compassion and that care to others. But I care for others, but I began to show myself some love, or the same love that how I care for others. I care for myself as I treated others, and I began to nurture my well-being, meaning that when I, you know, the things that I, you know, showed, whether it was in service and love or action or, you know, whatever that love language was for the individual or the person, I had to show myself the same thing. I had to begin to care for myself. I had to show my own my own caregiving system to myself of how I treated others. I had to care for myself in that way. I had to have those positive talks. I had to have those internal narratives with myself and have those positive talks and those prayers and other narratives to continue to be able to move in intention. So I became more self-aware of my internal narratives. That was another thing that I practiced with myself, by being more aware of those things, by my internal narratives and talking positive to myself and, you know, just saying prayers. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we can be hard on ourselves and we can, you know, feel like we lack thereof or not in a position where we are in life. And, you know, things don't happen by happenstance, but also the God timing is not our timing. When we feel like it's late, it's not late for God. And so I began to have positive talks with myself. I began to affirm myself, leave affirmations in places where I know that I am the most, whether it was in my car or in my mirror, in my bathroom, or just next to my bed, or wherever that I needed those positive talks or those affirmations. When I pray, I would pray through the day and not just, you know, that morning and that nighttime prayer. I pray throughout the day. And then the narratives, that the internal narratives that I began to talk to myself and speak over myself, meaning I began to speak those narratives of strongholds to be broken, and for me to, you know, operate in the image of God and knowing that I can become more and be more. So the next thing that I practiced within myself, I began to use my words. I began to release statements of affirmations, as I mentioned, positive affirmations. So when I caught myself thinking those negative thoughts, like I was, you know, something was mediocre or meaningless, or if I became impatient, I began to try to release myself from those feelings. And we all can learn from this and just pray our way through it, worship our way through it, be still. You know, just a few things that I began to do. And when I mean by be still, is when I was in prayer, I would, you know, just lay prostrate, or I would just sit in silence so that I can hear the Holy Spirit speak to my heart and have me to move in obedience and do things that I needed to do and that I needed to practice for self-compassion for myself, and, you know, also exude that for others. And so these were just some of my ways of my survival of things that I did. And so I love those self-cares, and I began to know what self-care was, and I began to experience it in many forms. And so when I began to do that, I began to, you know, see myself differently. I came out of the survival mode and began to, you know, seek healing in those areas where I was hurt and in pain and had that trauma or that internal trauma. And so I had to show myself self-care. My spiritual wellness became important. I began to ask myself, how do I find the satisfaction and fulfillment in my life? You know, or do things or situations or moments, is that a satisfaction or fulfill me? And I found myself that it did not, because I don't care how much I shopped, I couldn't shop it away. I couldn't, you know, I couldn't party it away, dance it away. I couldn't do any of those things, and it wasn't any fulfillment in it. So I began to focus on my spiritual wellness, and I had to get in tune with the Holy Spirit, and I began to establish in a true relationship with God. I began to pray and asking Him how to do it, because I didn't know how to do it. I knew that I grew up in church, but to have that personal relationship, I didn't know what that looked like or how I can obtain it. And then I began to dwell in my secret place, where I would meet God every day and ask Him how to do it, and, you know, how to move and what I need to do. And I began to seek Him more and more of, you know, my daily living and my daily life. And I obtained His word by learning and reading His scripture. I remember one year when I began my relationship with God, I made it a point to read the Bible in a year and ask the Holy Spirit to break it down and explain it to me. And that was the most liberating time in my life, because I didn't never see the word of God illuminated how it was in that moment. And so I incorporated fasting as well, because I wanted to give up something in order to receive something. So I wanted to be spiritual whole, and I wanted to nurture my spiritual wellness so that I can hear instruction and guidance from God. And so those things were how I began my self-care journey. And then I nurtured my emotional wellness. I had to become more intentional with self-care emotionally. So how do I respond? How do I react? How did I nurture my emotional wellness? I had to realize that I was created for a purpose. I was fearfully and wonderfully made. I had to remove those negative thoughts. I had to recognize when the enemy would use the tactics that he would never change up, but just change up how he did it, but use the same tactic. I had to nurture those things because those were the things that he used the most, whether it was insecurity or not feeling enough. I had to nurture my emotional wellness. And then I began to establish boundaries. When I established those boundaries, I put that in my life. I added it and put that in my life. I had to establish, you know, from my upbringing or the current state of things that I experienced and put into perspective. I wanted to emerge from that survival mode to healing. I began to long to be my best, highest version of me. I didn't want to be like anybody. I didn't want to be like my husband. I didn't want to be like my mom. I didn't want to be like my dad. I didn't want to be like anyone. I wanted to emerge into the best, highest version of me who God created me to be. I longed to heal and to become whole. I wanted to operate in my purpose, but I decided to heal from my past. In order for me to do that, in order for me to create a new future of a better me, I had to establish boundaries of things in my life, of how and what I was going to do, what I was going to accept and no longer accept or internalize. And so when I began to do those things, those self-care, that spiritual wellness, that emotional wellness, and establishing those boundaries, I moved from survival mode and began to heal. And it's always been there, but I had to recognize it. But we tend to develop those habits and ignore them and not listen to those inner voices that we long to change. But doing the work, I know the work is hard, but doing the work, the hard work, allowed me to step in my healing that from that broken trust that I had within myself. And let me say that again. I had to do the hard work that allowed me to step into my healing, that broken trust that was within myself. And so I let myself down so many times, but I wanted to stop letting myself down and be present and, you know, operate in the goodness of God and allow him to have full control of my life. And I surrendered my heart and my life to him. I had to unpack so many things, of things that I didn't want to address or want to bring forth. But if I didn't unpack those things, they will stay compact. And then it becomes like it's stagnant, and then it will create that problem. And so I didn't want to continue to revert to those behaviors or those learned behaviors I was accustomed to. I wanted to work past those rooted behaviors that was in my family systems that I grew up in and my traumas from the past. I wanted to heal. I didn't want to be in survival mode. I desired to heal. And so I looked to Jesus in order to tell me how to unpack, whether it was counseling, whether it was a message, a word of God, or whether it was a word from him, or whether it was something that he had given me to write verbatim in my journals. And so I came across a quote. You guys know that I love quotes, but I read a quote from Carl Jung, and the quote said, "Until you make the conscious unconscious, it will direct your life and you will call it faith." Let me read it again. "Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate." Jeez, that's heavy. So I didn't want to remain unconscious. I wanted to be conscious of those things that I felt like was directing my life. I didn't want to be in survival mode. I wanted to become aware of those patterns so that I can make more intentional choices. I wanted to interrupt those thoughts. I wanted to unravel entanglements. I want to become more open to the possibilities of becoming free and compassionate to responses that I gave to myself and to others. I desire to experience my reality of healing. I knew that God, if God done it before, he can do it again. He showed so many times of healing throughout his word that we can, you know, we know that he can speak a word of healing. He can send someone, he can use anything to heal anyone. And so I wanted to experience that. I desire to be healed. I didn't want to continue to remain in that unconsciousness. I wanted to be conscious and I wanted to become healed and whole. And I knew I did not have to believe all the thoughts that I was thinking of those negative things. So when my mind began to race or anxiety tried to creep up, I referred to scripture. I created scripture cards that I kept in my purse or my bag. I conversed and prayed with God, and I definitely worshiped in my dwelling place where I met Jesus. On moments where I was so broken and hurt, I would just go there where I would meet him and just pray and pour out my feelings and my emotions. I began to write journals. I have so many journals that I have throughout the years, and I was counseled. Most importantly, I looked to God to strip me of those things that were not of him. I began to ask him to strip me of those things that were not of him, or those things that I internalized, or those entanglements that kept me entangled of the things that I wanted to be free from. And I wanted to have those compassionate responses instead of responding in anger, because you know, when we hold on to those things that we experience in survival mode, we can tend to respond in anger and without compassion, because we're just angry, I'm sorry, and have built up emotions that we have not released, but we are internalizing them. So as I did these things, I began to emerge more out of survival mode and into healing mode. I didn't map out anything. I didn't plan anything. I didn't make a 2-year plan. I just asked myself, what are one or two actionable items that I can apply to that day, that week, or that month? And I asked God and I prayed in order for him to lead and guide me. In order to do that, I sought the Holy Spirit to lead and instruct me, whether that was counsel, scripture, or messages. I asked myself what I need in that moment for my mental, physical, and spiritual wellness. I began to ask myself those questions. I would journal about it. I began to make videos. I never forget, years ago, I made videos of pieces of me, because I was so broken. I was so confused. I was so lost. And I would make those videos and I would speak to myself. And in moments of clarity, God gave me so much through those videos. I took walks, I danced in the rain. I did whatever it was to free me and to cleanse me and to heal me from that survival mode to healing. And it was a hard task. It was a hard work in order to do. But in this season of our lives, I pray that we can just slow down just a little bit and give ourselves permission to really listen to God and to hear what he have to say, because it's so much that he wants from us and want us to do for the kingdom. Because have you sat in silence? Have you sat and worshiped only? Have you prayed? Have you paused to hear the Holy Spirit how to lead and guide you once you prayed, instead of pray and continuously just get up and move fast? Have you just paused and allow the Holy Spirit to respond? When I began to respond in that way by praying, or I would just go into worship and just listen to the Holy Spirit speak to my heart and mind, you know, those things began to change the mind and the thought process of where I was and being in survival mode. But we must trust that God have our best interests at heart. We do know that it's one step at a time, and it's going to be different for everyone. We have to move away from and come out of that survival mode and go into a more sustainable way of living and healing ourselves, because we have to continue to live. We have to heal in order to become whole, because if we're not healed, how can we become whole or be whole in order to do the things that we need to do in life and that we were purposed for. I'm not saying you can't operate in it as you're navigating through it. I'm saying, what would that look like if you became completely healed and completely whole? So here are some signs to, and some things to help you recognize the transition when you are healing and coming out of that survival mode. I know for me, these are some things that I experienced. I had an increased emotional resilience. I began to notice that I was able to handle challenging emotions and moments better in situations. And I had greater resilience in it instead of sitting in it or just staying stuck. I instead began feeling that emotional stability that I needed. I began to be more aware and cognizant of what God wanted from me and wanted me to do and how he wanted me to do it. Another thing that I experienced and that I would like to share in terms of when you recognize you're coming out of that survival mode into healing, you have that sense of inner peace. You start to experience those moments that you are calm and you have that peace in the midst of chaos and pain. And so this is a sign that you are trusting God to lead and guide you through the healing process that you're going through. And you begin to trust him with everything, because this particular step or this particular thing, having that sense of inner peace, I'm just reminded of, you know, of course, you know, when my daughter passed away, to have that calmness in the midst of the chaos and, you know, how everything just fell in line and God provided individuals and gave the peace and comfort and provided, you know, the guidance that I needed during that time. And so, you know, having that inner peace is a sign that you're trusting God to guide you through that process, that healing process. And another thing is letting go of that fear and anxiety. Yeah, we all will probably keep or have some type of fear and anxiety in some type of way, but you gradually release that grip of that fear and anxiety that can be over you. And so when we trust God's plan for our lives and allow that healing to worry less about the future and knowing that he have our best interests at heart and that he already have it figured out anyway. I always tell others and my children or even myself that God knew about it before it even happened. And I always just tell myself that, and I ask God to just give me the lesson or what it is that I'm supposed to get out of it or how do I supposed to navigate through it. And he always do just that. And so with that, another thing was my increased faith and my trust in him, because my faith in God's love and the purpose that he had, it began to grow stronger within me. And I began to trust that there is a divine plan for my healing. And even though I can't see it clearly or it look hazy right now to you, that it will become clear when you have that faith and trust in him, whether he's providing and leading you on how to do what you need to do for your healing process in order for you to navigate through and come out of that survival mode into your healing. And you have to have that increased faith and trust in God and begin to seek that spiritual connection, because he desire for you to have that deeper connection with him. And so that you can grow in your faith and your spirituality. And so I know this will involve for me, it involved more prayer and meditation and attending those things that nurture me, whether it was church or a Bible study, and those things that allow me to have that spiritual connection. And most importantly, I spoke on this last week, we have to know that we have to have that forgiveness and let go. The more you open to forgiveness of forgiving yourself and others in those past hurts, the forgiveness is a sign of your inner healing and that you trust God's grace. Because if he gives us grace and he can forgive us, who are we not to forgive others? And we should let go of that pain so that it does not hold us in bondage. And And then you begin to start noticing these little or small miracles and things that God is doing in our lives, and that those moments that come unexpectedly with that grace and support, or those solutions or those problems that strengthen our faith, you know, it become, you know, recognizable that what God can do to you, through you, and for you. And when you begin to take those positive steps, you become motivated towards your healing. And, you know, if you choose to seek therapy or counseling or participate in those in support groups, you know, make healthier lifestyle choices, because those were components that I had to, you know, include in my healing and take those steps in doing those things. I didn't do everything at one time, but however, you know, I applied it through my journey and it helped. And so I had to cultivate this sense of gratitude as well, because I wanted to know that I wanted to be present in the moment and shift from that perspective that allowed me to see past my challenges that have helped me or contributed to my growth. I began to learn how to share my journey and my healing journey with others, and offering them hope and, you know, encouragement along the way, because, you know, with this podcast, with my journal, with speaking, or what through prayer, however God directed me to share my journey, I did feel compelled to share that more. And I'm coming across more encounters with individuals who have dealt with you or dealing with their healing journey. And I'm just glad to know that God see fit to use me in that way. And I do find myself in constant prayer and trusting God, because your prayer life, once it become more consistent and you find yourself surrendering to your fears and your concerns to God and trusting that he will provide and lead and guide you through each thing and give you the strength, you can begin to strip those things from you, and you can begin to realize that you are in a transition of healing. And you know, you will continue to trust him to lead and guide you through. And then most importantly, you'll have a sense of purpose. You will begin to discover and rediscover your sense of purpose in your life. You know, it's nothing like it. When you realize that your experiences, even the painful ones, can be used for the greater good. I always say nothing that we use or go through is lost or is not going to be used, because all those things are intricately put together in order to form this tapestry of our lives, of creating this picture and this and the purpose that God has created us for. And so when you have that sense of purpose and you discover those things, and you realize that your experiences are those teachable ones that will be used for your greater good, and it's not used to, you know, hurt you or to keep you in a place, and you can use it for the greater good and for the kingdom of God and those that may deal with the similar things that you go through. You know, it's nothing like having a sense of purpose. And so, you know, we all can go through things. I know we can all be in survival mode. And, you know, it's going to vary from person to person on their healing and their journey. But it's essential to be very patient with yourself, continue to seek the support you need from your faith community, family, counseling, trusted friends or professionals as you navigate this journey of healing and trusting God, and knowing that you can too heal and come out of survival mode. Many blessings to you. This has been this week's episode. That's all for today. If you have any questions or you would like to share your journey, please reach out to our email at adaysjourneypodcast@gmail.com or any social media channels, A Day's Journey Podcast. Until next time, may you find your peace, healing, and unwavering trust in God's plan. Take care and many blessings. Remember, I want to hear from you and your thoughts. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts so that we can get the word out to others as well. And we're healing day by day, healing out loud. Many blessings. Have a good rest of the week. Have you purchased your Heal Out Loud Grief Journal? Well, this journal can be the perfect gift and the perfect guide for to navigate you through your emotions. Your journal will help you speak your truth without judgment, entangle confusing thoughts, honor your loved one, and explore your continuing journey in the life after loss. So, the Heal Out Loud Grief Journal is here for you. It has a mood tracking feature that allows you to document your emotions and your energy levels in the moment, help you gain valuable insights into your healing process. So this 160-page grief journal is filled with writing prompts, inspiring quotes, comforting prayers, and uplifting scriptures to provide a solace and encouragement along the way of your journey. So if you haven't purchased, go to Amazon.com, search Heal Out Loud Grief Journal by Miyoshi Walker, and after you purchase, please leave a review on Amazon and share your thoughts on how the journal is beneficial to your healing. Let's heal day by day with the daily prompts, scriptures, and prayers, and let's embrace the power of healing out loud. Remember that God is greater than grief and it equals healing.